Good morning, and we welcome each one here to this part of the service. It's good to see all of you here, and the regular worshipers and some visitors, we're glad you're all here. It's good you came to worship together with us, and hope we can be blessed. I've been blessed already. Thank you, Brother Dennis, for contributing to our service this morning. It's very nice to have Dennis here. I thought that's who it was when I walked in the door, and I was blessed by that. We are indeed blessed to be able to serve in this way, in openness and worship. About 3 weeks ago, we were traveling east on Interstate 80 in a passing lane and going about 70 mile an hour, maybe a little bit faster. I was following two motorcycles, and we were following two motorcycles, and suddenly one of them slowed down real aggressively in front of me. And the driver began motioning me to the right. He said, like, get over. And I didn't know what he meant at that time by that motion. But as soon as I comprehended what I was supposed to do and what was going on, I started to brake and began turning to the right. There was a heavy thud in the back of the van, and then again a rumbling and jolting as a heavy Chevy pickup, 3/4 ton, came sliding up along my left side. And for a brief instant, why, the hood of that pickup was only this far from my head. The impact of the impact on the Chevy truck and hitting our van was so hard that the truck and a 20-foot trailer rolled 1.5 times and landed on its roof in a great big cloud of dust in the median strip. We were able to safely pull off the road, and we went on down the road a few hundred yards until we got collected, and our van was still going. And we looked at each other at the end of that crash, and we were all right. Wow, you know, we weren't even hurt. Brother Sanford Martin was riding with us, and he wasn't hurt either. Immediately, we remembered the prayer to God before we left the garage. Thought about that. Well, God kept us safe in this. And there were some realizations of that eventful afternoon that I realized when we were sitting there, sitting next to the guardrail, and stopped, and the dust was still swirling from the pickup, and there were people crawling out of the windows, and soon there was a police car there, and sirens and lights, and soon there was more. There was wreckers there, and there was ambulances wheeling in there, as I thought about this in that eventful afternoon, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I think, about when it was, I realized that it was important that I lived another day to God. That I was blessed by that. I was just, it could have been different. That pickup was just outside the window for a little bit. And hit my front fender and door and side door and back bumper and fender. That was all in tatters. But there could have been a different outcome. God thought it was important to show me clearly that I get to a place where I'm out of control. There was nothing I could do. I was totally out of control that day. My van was doing funny things, going sideways, and there were plastic dragon on the road and so forth, and I was totally out of control. I had to realize that my personal sovereignty was gone. It was out the door. The third thing that I realized, I was on the way to an ordination, and I had part that evening. I'd agreed to have part. And I didn't have part that evening. I didn't even make the ordination. I was insignificant in the plan of God. Those are at least three things that I realized that day, that you aren't such a big deal after all. I would like to talk this morning about coming to rest with God's sovereignty. Coming to rest with God's sovereignty. Sovereignty is the idea of authority or being in control is an easy way to say it. How can I come to a place where I rest in God's sovereignty? It would be good if we could all come to that perfect place of resting in God's sovereignty. There would be much less mental problems, much less mental stress. There would be less psychologists, there would be less behavior modification drugs. If we could all come to a place where we're perfectly at rest in God's control, in God's sovereignty. How can I come to a place where I rest in God's sovereignty? Well, before we go into the scriptures, and I want to go to Daniel 2, I would like to say a few things. It is a fundamental truth that every human being will relinquish ownership of our time, our life, our bodies, our career, our families, our bank account, the air we breathe, to one day worship God himself. It is one day we will bow our knees before God. Put your hand on your knees and think about them bending before God. One day, your knees are going to bend before God in worship to Him. And by you kneeling like that, you're saying, God, you're God. And I am done. I am undone. Like Isaiah said. I would like you to turn with me to Psalm 24 and verse 1. I want to look at that in two scriptures just briefly. Before we go into our text in Daniel 2. And I want you to help me. So maybe we can rivet these principles into our minds more deeply. And I would like you to help me read Psalm 24 and verse 1. Now, it's not a long verse, so we'll need to be together on it. Psalm 24 and verse 1. Everyone together. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. How much do we own? I want you to read this verse and tell me. How much do we own? Someone say. How much? Nothing. Everybody agrees. Raise your hand. Oppose the same side. Okay? We own nothing. It is God's. Our bodies are His. Our farms are His. Our children are His. Our wives are His. Our souls are His. We own nothing. At the very best, we are stewards. We take care of things for God, but we own nothing. Now, there's something very important about this that God cannot be in competition with us for our sovereignty. It is either God's or we think it's ours. It's not true that we think it is ours, but it is either God's or we think it's ours. In fact, there's something very important about this. And, you know, and I stand to be corrected. It is when we yield completely to the sovereignty of God, at that very moment, is the moment we become a Christian. Not before. If there's a little bit left of Joe Weaver or a little bit left of whoever you are, we are not a Christian. What we believe about the sovereignty of God affects how we think about life. You know, background shapes us, hurts shape us, feelings shape us. But what we believe about God's sovereignty does shape us. And I ask you bluntly and simply this morning, and I ask everyone to, I want you to at least answer this question in your mind and in your heart as we go into this message. Is God in control? Is God in control of your uncontrollables? We all have situations where we are out of control. But is God in control of your uncontrollables? Now, I would like you to go with me for the second scripture. I would like to go to Isaiah 55, 9, another well-known scripture. And I would like to read it together. Isaiah 55, 9. Very nice to see you girls at least taking notes like you do. It's very much a blessing and a encouragement. But Isaiah 55, 9. Everyone together. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's thoughts are way higher than ours. We are down here at about 5'8" or 10 or 6 feet maybe, and our thoughts are here. And God's thoughts are higher than the heavens above us. They're higher than our ways. And he says, my thoughts than your thoughts. And my simple question for you right now is this. Is your God a big God? Or are you making your God little by the insistence that we have ownership too? We got to share it with God. We have these things that we think are important, that we are told are so important to our success. Dave Ramsey tells us how to live. And other economists. And we have these economic plans of how to save money. We have plans for our new barn or our new house. We have plans for our families. Are they subject to God's bigger plan? Can we come to rest in God's sovereignty? That's the question this morning. And I ask you in all sincerity, I think it's so important to come to rest in God's control and his sovereignty. Now let's go to Daniel chapter 2. And I just want to read this through the first part of the chapter, I think for the first 30-some verses. And in the second year of the king of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans, were to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if you show the dream and the interpretations thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. The answer Gideon said, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation thereof." The king answered and said, "I know of a certainty that you would gain the time, because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will now make known to me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know you can show me the interpretation thereof." The Chaldeans answered before the king, "There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that has such thing in any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. It is a rare thing the king requires. There is none that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh." For this cause the king was angry and furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And a decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which has gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree so hasty from the king?" Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire the mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth the kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth that what is in the darkness and the light that dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O God of my fathers. Thou hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me what we desired of thee, for thou hast made known unto us the king's matter." Therefore the king went into Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon, then went and said this unto him, "Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation." Then Arioch brought Daniel in before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, "I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation." The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof?" Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into my mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter, and he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make the interpretation to the king and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. I'm going to stop reading there. But there are three responses to God's sovereignty that I want to look at in this powerful passage of Scripture. There is one of Nebuchadnezzar, the response to God's sovereignty. Number two, it's the wise men. And number three, it's Daniel. Daniel's response, and he rested in God's sovereignty. First, I want to look at Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar's tightly held sovereignty was pried from his hands when he had this troubling dream. He was in control of everything in the world. He was the king. But yet, something as simple as a dream came to him, and it troubled him so he couldn't sleep. There was no group of soldiers that he could send out there to take care of this problem. There was no engineers to take care of this problem. He was stumped. Everything was in Nebuchadnezzar's control, his military, his wise men, the government. He could tell people, you know, what to do. He even could tell his wise men if they didn't perform as they should, they would be cut in pieces. When he called people, they came to do his bidding. You know what? Life is like that. Life is like that. We are in control. We have a plan for life. And then God steps in, and he will show us how easily we are out of control. We have an accident, like I almost did, or like I did. We have a terminal illness. You have cancer. It's stage 4, and you got 6 weeks to live. I know somebody right now that has that. Out of control. Or there's a person in the church that's spreading rumors about us, malicious lies about us. Out of control again. Daniel's description is beyond of Nebuchadnezzar's sovereignty. He has a well-worded description of Nebuchadnezzar's sovereignty on in verse 37 and 38. He said, "Thou, O king, art king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand." Nebuchadnezzar, this, as far as you can see, this country is yours. He was in control of a vast empire. But yet, he had this dream. And he was troubled. He could not send soldiers to take care of this problem. He was in a real stew. He had a problem. Brethren and sisters, this morning, we all will come to that place where we realize that God is in control and we're not. Let's look at the wise men. The king's wise men's personal sovereignty was ripped out of their hands by the demand of this unreasonable, despotic king. And what was their response? There is not a man upon earth that can show the king's matter. And in essence, they were saying, I can't believe this is happening to me. This is terrible. Life is out of control. These men were on the king's inner circle, and they had enjoyed a friendship with the king, and now he's going to kill us and chop us up and put our houses in a big pile of junk. These men were pretty high in intelligence, no doubt. They were high on popularity. They had access to the king. They went by the book, the science book, the computer, the web. There must be an answer somewhere in research and education and so forth. They were buying into the Chaldean dream. No doubt they had two chariots in each garage. They had it all. They had the well-manicured yards. They had the nice families. They had the newest vehicles. And they were the participants in the social elite circles of parties. Their children were in the orchestra, the soccer leagues, and everything else that the Chaldean culture could offer. They were privy to the best universities in Chaldea. They were at their disposal. When suddenly this impulsive, despotic king used his tyrannical power and position for his personal gain, and they were going to be cut up and their houses made a trash heap. They were out of control. Their security was gone in a flash, like a vapor. A dramatic reversal in fortunes, and it happened in an instant. This happens to every person sometime. We will experience an automobile accident, a farm tire accident, a cancer diagnosis, a downturn in our economy, a fellow church member turns against us, a church that has stood for truth is turning towards apostasy, and it goes on and on and on. And families will, part of the family will turn away. These men, worse, they were devastated. But you know what? These people had a little weak God. They didn't have the God they could rest in. If you're trusting in the economy and the American dream and your job, you have a little weak God. Now I want to hasten on. I want to look at 6 points on Daniel's rest in the sovereignty of God. Daniel, number one, Daniel had rest in the God that had rest in a God that is control, and he realized he wasn't. He realized that he wasn't, nor was Nebuchadnezzar, nor were the wise men. Daniel had rest in a God that is in control. Daniel says in verse 20, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. God is over all forever and ever. Wisdom and might are his in unlimited amounts. He changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. How many of you are worried about the presidential election? plenty of people, well, if so-and-so gets in there, we're done. I hear it all the time. Did you know that we have a big God that is in control of the presidential election and he sets up kings and presidents? Our God is behind the changing weather, climate change, the changing political scene, the changing economy, the changing society, and the changing religious scene, and a whole bunch of other changes. He knows about that. Human control is an illusion. That's why a lot of our society attach themselves to the movie stars, the athletes. It's because to get somewhere, you have to be attached to those kind of people. Well, today I got another answer, and that is attach yourself to God. Number two, Daniel had rest that no detail escapes God. All wisdom comes from him. And he revealeth the deep and secret things. Daniel had rest that no detail escapes God. We got our lives going on and we think we're so important. But Daniel had rest in the sovereignty of God. That his God knows every detail about his life. Number three, Daniel addressed that God is operating behind the scenes in all of life. He had rest in God's sovereignty, that he is moving the levers, turning the wheels behind the scenes in all of life. There's a lot we could say there. But number four, Daniel had rest in the confidence in the people of God joining together in prayer that God would send the mercies of heaven. He went to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah and beseeched them that they would pray for him. And that God would send mercy. Dear ones, this morning, if there's anything we need, it's the mercy of God. We need it. We need it badly. Number five, Daniel had rest in God's wisdom, not in his personal wisdom. He went into Nebuchadnezzar and he said, God hasn't revealed this to me. I'm not any smarter than anybody else in the face of the earth, but I serve a God that reveals secrets and he knows everything. A God that reveals secrets. It wasn't in his personal wisdom and ability. Oh, we can have so much confidence in our personal ability. God alone can know the thoughts of your heart. That's what it says here in this scripture, that God knows what you're thinking. And finally, Daniel had rest in the sovereignty of God. There's one thing that God doesn't control, and that's your choice. You can choose. You can choose him. You can choose to obey him. He lets that up to you. It's up to us. Daniel, early in his life, had purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. God has chosen to let you choose him. What a privilege. And what a mistake it would be if we choose the things of this earth, the American dream and economy and politics and so forth. What a mistake it would be rather than to choose the one who knows all secrets and controls life behind the scenes, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and he owns everything. What a mistake that would be. That would be the worst deal of time and eternity. Can we rest like Daniel in the sovereignty of God? When our earth is shaking, when our world is out of control, can we rest in God's care and control?